You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Thomas.
I'm Micah.
I'm Andy.
Got the crew here today. What are we talking about?
We are talking about a bunch of bull crap, really.
And now you're getting into it, too? Is that what you're doing? You're going to do the dad jokes?
I don't see how that was a dad joke.
That's pretty relevant.
Yeah. A lot of rabbit holes. Yep. Didn't accomplish much, but you know what? We had a good time. That's what it's all about.
It's an awesome show, I think.
We wallow around a little
bit. Okay. All right. There it is.
There's the dad joke. Yeah. But no, this episode, we were talking about our elk trip that we were about to go on. Actually, whenever you listen to this, we will be on our elk trip.
So. Yep. Yeah. But it's basically just a bunch of, we're talking about our excitement with this elk trip.
It's the excitement, the experience, the stories that we go through. We hash them out every year, it seems like, but it... never gets old.
Yep.
And we were joined today by our buddies Pat and Russell.
So. Yeah. Pat's first time on the show. We've talked about him before.
Yep.
On other episodes, and then Russ has been on the show before in our Black Widow episode. So, you're going to hear these guys just more than once. They'll join us from time to time. So,
and to make relevant some references, Pat's the one who went first time last year, and within 3 hours killed his first elk. Yep. That's kind of unheard of, and he likes to rub that in.
Yeah, and you'll hear him rub that in the show. So
within the first minute.
Could be the last time he's ever on.
Let's time
Who
it.
Who knows?
Let's time it, see how long it takes.
And then we'll just kind of, you'll just hear us BS, have some fun. So enjoy it. This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast.
Let's do it.
All right, folks. Excited about this one today. Got the normal guys with us, Andy and Micah. What's up, fellas?
Howdy, howdy.
Hey there.
And we've got Russell again with us.
Hey,
what's up, man? And now we have another part of the group making his co-hosting, or what do you call it, guest hosting debut, our buddy Pat Slivkov. What's
up, man? How's it going?
The Russian.
All right.
So today's episode... is kind of just a BS session, honestly, but when everybody's going to be listening to this show, we are going to be on our Colorado archery elk trip.
Hopefully so the day this releases,
we will
hunting,
be
hunting, like the actual season.
Well, it doesn't start that day.
It'd be the day.
The day after.
Yeah. Day after, okay.
But the day this releases will be the day we go out of cell service for the next 2 weeks and or hopefully.
Hopefully packing... Some meat out. Back.
Yeah.
Like an hour and a half in. It's all good.
So, yeah, we're
Oh, you already brought that up.
Yeah.
That took less than 2 minutes.
Less than 2 minutes to bring up his first year success. But we're recording this about a week early. So, we're just going to talk about our excitement and some of the stuff we're planning on doing and
what goes into it, the planning and.
Yeah.
You know.
And our hope is, I know this is a Missouri podcast, but we love elk hunting.
And we're hoping this gets people that live in Missouri to go out of their comfort zone and travel and maybe do some elk hunting or out of state hunting at least.
Exactly. Missouri obviously is our main state. I mean, we love everything here, but we also like to spread our wings and venture out a little bit.
If we can, right? Yeah. And we're hoping that this
is... peacock, gotta let me fly.
I'm a peacock moth, gotta let me fly. And we're hoping that this is just the beginning of maybe an elk series. We don't know. It depends on how successful we are out in Colorado. But you know, if we have some success, you might hear some Tales of the Chases episodes about how that success went. Some close calls we might have. Just depends on what we see out there, how that goes. So
if you don't hear anything, we did real bad.
We did not do good.
Yeah, don't ask us about it.
Let's define success here, because success, I mean, Missouri deer season, we're all pretty, I mean, seasoned deer hunters. Everybody listening, I imagine, you know, pretty good success rate. Colorado over-the-counter archery, which is what we do.
Mm-hmm. On public land.
On public land. Average is about 10% success rate, if I'm not mistaken.
100%.
Shut.
One time, this guy.
This is going to be the last time. Oh, by the way, we should probably back up a minute and let Pat introduce himself.
Yeah. Let's get to know Pat a little bit more.
So, Pat, tell the listeners who you are, what you do for a living, and we have everybody do this. I think I had Russell do it, too. Yep. What's your favorite thing about the Missouri outdoors?
All right. Well, I'm Pat Slivkov. I dig holes for a living.
He's a gravekeeper.
I work for a telecommunications company, and my favorite thing about the outdoors, honestly, is just like being out there. I mean, not so much seeing or anything, just the escape from the everyday life, where you can just relax for a few hours and not have kids screaming or, you know, the wife getting on to you for something. But you know, it's a good escape, and it's even better when you can enjoy it with friends. So
yeah, I think that's probably what is most fun about this elk trip for, I mean, me, is, yeah, the hunting's awesome, but being out there with you guys is, you know, what it's about. I mean, I've got to hunt with each and every one of you, except for Pat, because he didn't hunt for more than 2 hours last year.
No, he was...
I went all but one day.
Yeah, to his credit, he still, even after he tagged out opening day, he took the next day off to cut up meat and everything. But after that, he helped walk around, and he was willing to pack out if anybody else had success.
Even the last day, I wanted to kill you.
You wanted to kill me last day?
Yeah, when we went down that slope, because you wanted to see this.
That was awesome.
And then it was nowhere. And it was straight up getting out of there.
First off, I will say that was Russell's fault for letting me have that mountain ops.
Well,
no, I gave you the
mountain ops. You gave me the mountain ops. That stuff works.
Yeah. Well, a little guy like you, I can see it actually. Right?
Well, I was ready to run up the mountain.
No, you weren't. Nobody was running up that mountain. That was a steep mountain.
So as you guys can tell, we're emotionally ready, I think, to get out there. How many of you guys are packed? We have roughly 10 days from today that we leave.
I'm pretty much done. I mean, I've got some things to...
On a scale of 1 to 10, I am at a 2 as far as packed.
Solid 2, though.
Solid 2. I got all my camo, all my clothing and stuff is at least on top of my dresser. My wife asked me today, she's like, how long is that going to be here? I'm like, well, I leave in about 10 days. So
no longer than that.
Yeah.
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
And then we're actually in Russell's basement right now, and it's literally full of hunting supplies.
Hey, we should take a picture and...
Yeah, we'll post a picture.
Yeah, there's...
This is what the,
that's one guy's stuff.
That's one guy's stuff, right? Stuff.
Yeah. Russell takes a lot of stuff that we all community-wise use, and that's the big part about it, is it's community stuff. I mean, you know, Albert goes out and cooks for us. So he brings all the kitchen stuff, and we all chip in. And bring
Albert's
a little
my
bit
father-in-law,
everything.
Russell's dad, right. For listeners.
My uncle.
Yep.
My buddy.
He my friend.
And, I mean, I'm kind of... Like, I got my stuff out a couple weeks ago and just slowly, that's kind of how I do things, slowly started putting stuff together. And, I mean, I'm still, you know, I don't have all my stuff checked off of my organized list that I print off every year. Sure. But, I mean, I know where everything is, and I could be done in half a day if I needed to be. So, okay. I'm kind of a little bit like Russell. All my stuff's out, ready to go. It's just...
I just got carried up the truck. That's it.
Yeah. Andy, scale of 1 to 10, what are you?
Well,
about a 0,
you know, solid 1.5. I feel, let's see, today I finally put broadheads on, so that's good. Pretty comfortable with them, actually. I did better than I thought. I got the stuff, little quirks worked out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got a new bow.
Yeah, right. Let's tell everybody, because a couple episodes ago, you talked about what happened on our archery shoot, and you cracked them limbs. What's going on now with you?
Well, I went ahead and bit the bullet and just went. I got the other one. You know, warranty work was coming, getting repaired, but I was a little nervous that time wise, because we had 3 weeks left before. So I had to get it set up, get it shot, get the parts fixed.
I think it was like, 21 days when you broke it?
Yeah, 21 days maybe till we leave when I broke it. So I do have a left-handed bow for sale. So I went and bought a new one. I shot a couple, and the new VXR this year is phenomenal in my opinion. Pat, that's what Pat shoots. He kind of put me on it. Russell's been shooting
Vertix.
The Vertix, but
I'm now the only one in our group. By the way, does not shoot a Matthews.
Yeah.
Right. Give it the program.
And I'll be honest, I shot that thing one time, and as soon as I shot it, I knew that it was a fit. So got it all set up. I've been, you know, slowly shooting after work between, you know, kid life, farm life, everything else, shoot a few arrows a day, and got everything kind of put back together. Getting broadheads, you know, kind of dialed in, but it's a work in progress. Got my clothes. They're all about the same status as Micah. They're in a box, but...
Right. Just got to go through and make sure it's all there.
Right. It's all washed, and I do the scent wash. I know it after that many days on the mountain doesn't matter, but I start off with a scent-free clothing attire, I guess.
Right.
But other than that, kind of... We take my camper out there, and it's ready to go. We pack the bearings and the wheels the other day. Truck goes in for a good oil change on Tuesday.
Got all our roof vents on.
I am missing one.
Let's tell that story right quick.
So we're not hurricane proof at this point.
Let's tell that story right quick.
It's over the shitter. So
tell everybody the story about the roof vent.
Gosh,
what was it? 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was my first year.
2 years ago, it was raining that day, and we decided to all kind of sit in the camper, eat a little bit before we figured out what we're going to do, and. We're sitting there, and all of a sudden, a little splash of water kind of comes out of the... It has a bunk bed that puts... It's a toy hauler, so it shoves up to the top.
Right.
And all of a sudden, a drip of water comes down. We're like, where did that come from? What in the world? And didn't think nothing of it. And then another one come down, and I think it was me. I stood up, and I put my hand on the mattress of that bunk bed, and where I went to stand up, all the water came down.
Just soaked.
We didn't know it. And this is the first year I just got that camper. And it was a used, I'll be completely honest with everybody. I did not pay very much. It was a salvage title.
Yeah.
It was too hauled to
made
Colorado.
Perfect for Colorado.
It is. It gets beat up.
We don't even sleep in it.
It's a kitchen, basically.
That's the thing with all the gear that we take. I mean, you can spend $1,000, but you got to be able to tear it up, break it.
Yep.
Yeah.
This camper gets drugged through mud holes, up rock roads. So, it is what it is. We didn't know that on the way out there, one of the vents above the main area had blown off. Basically, it dry rotted and fell off. So we're sitting there, and after I did that, I look up, and that vent is just gone. So it's pouring down rain.
Yeah, then a storm hits about that time, even worse.
It starts picking up outside, so we grab a kind of a Rubbermaid tub and run outside, and I'm trying to use... The only ladder we had was the ladder to get to that bunk bed. It's slipping and falling in the mud.
I've got a handful of your ass trying to keep you from falling.
Not my proudest moment. Being the tallest guy, I get nominated.
First, I'm like, I'm too short for this.
Nate was too short to reach it. I climbed the ladder. It's my camper, so I feel obligated. I climb it. Nathan's trying to hold me up there so I don't fall. I'm throwing a deal up there, and I think I laid a stick across it just for something. It worked for the time being and fixed the problem short term, but that we've since then fixed that. But those are the kind of, looking back, then it kind of sucked. Looking back, it's hilarious. It didn't do any damage to the camper. We got the mattress dried out. Had nothing.
It's that secondhand fun.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, this sucks ass right now, but you look back on it, you're like, that's kind of funny.
It was.
Because I think half of you were working on his camper, and half of us were working on trying to keep my tent from blowing away.
We were having to hold it down.
It was ripping eyelets out of our tarps.
It was a bad storm.
And when it all cleared, we had to work on Nathan's four-wheeler.
Was that the Red Bull can on the muffler?
Yep. We have an expert fabricator with us. Russell, explain your fix for a four-wheeler muffler using only minimum resources.
People don't know us, so you got to explain what the problem was with that four-wheeler at the time.
So your brute force was extremely loud, like, all week. And we're like, we got to do something with this. So he was busy doing something else, so we grabbed a Red Bull can. A
pair of 10 snips.
Cut it out.
Side cutters, actually.
Kind of rolled it around this exhaust.
That had a hole in it.
Bailing wire.
Yeah, the exhaust had a hole.
Yeah. Tightened this Red Bull can up around this hole and quieted it down.
It did. It actually worked really well.
I think it helped it run. I mean, I don't know if it helped it run better, but...
I don't know. We'll have to ask the guy that you sold it to.
that thing ran like a top. No, that was fixed. I fixed it.
I said he got it fixed.
Yeah.
But we doubled up the Red Bull can, if I'm not mistaken. We put two layers.
Yeah, because the Red Bull's pretty thin.
Yeah. And that thing had power. I'm just saying that thing was awesome.
Did you know that we had fixed it?
I caught you fixing it.
Yeah, and he got really mad. What are you guys doing?
Because you're my brother-in-laws and buddies, I figured you were screwing with me and not actually helping me.
Yeah, they're just, letting out all the brake fluid.
Right, I'm like, oh, what are they doing right now?
Gives you wings.
Yeah. Yeah. So where are you at, Pat? Are you ready to go?
I'm close. Most of my clothes, I washed all my clothes, got all my clothes back besides socks and drawers. I got food pre-packed for 10 days on the mountain, all my snacks, it's 1,732 calories of snacks for each day.
Wow, you broke it down that much?
I was like, I'm curious how much it is. And so I could literally survive off that if I need to. I'm going to be angry because I'm going to be hungry because I'm fat.
Angry.
But I think all I got left is a few little things here and there. And finish fletching arrows, which fletchings are supposed to be here Sunday. We'll have that done next week, hopefully. So, and I hope the rest of my broadheads show up sometime.
You just need one.
Hopefully.
That's all I need. That's all you need.
Well, actually, I need two. You need two this year. You got lucky enough and you drew that mule tag.
Drew a mule deer tag.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. I put in, I did not draw.
Yeah.
Here, get drawn this year.
Which is, I honestly thought I had no chance of drawing. Yeah. No points whatsoever, just shot in the dark. I figured, I'll just get my name in the hat, and it worked.
It's an average of 2 years in that area, I think, isn't it?
I think so. Like, I was looking at the odds on Go Hunt for that area, and it was nothing. I think it was like 0.03% or something with 0 points.
Well, I think that was, we both put in with future hopes in mind.
Right.
And then you called me that day and said, hey, man, did you get your mule deer tag? I was like, well, of course not. I didn't know. And he's like, oh. I'm like, you did, didn't you? And he's like, yup.
So,
yeah, the whole packing thing, like, listen, folks, we make it different than it has to be, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there is a group of us that go together for a reason. We like to spend that time together out there. It's not just about the hunting. You know, obviously, most of what we're doing is hunting, but it's, you know, it's those memories you're making when you're back at camp at night or whatever. And we do a lot of extra things. I mean, we do have quads that we take. There's, what, 7, 8 of us or whatever going. So there's a lot of us that go.
There's 9.
Holy hell, 9. Man, I'm bad at math.
8 hunters in Albert.
Right, that's right. So, you know, we make it harder than it really has to be. I mean, if you were just a guy
Well, I'd say it's either harder or easier the way you look at it. I mean, because if you think about it, if we wanted to go to a harder unit where you actually have to pack in and hunt on the mountain, I mean, that's just a different type of difficulty right there.
So, well, that'd be really hard for a guy.
There are some aspects that make it easier for us. But if you were like, oh my gosh, I don't have an ATV. I don't have a trailer to get stuff out there. You don't need all that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't. I ride with you. I ride, you know, you got the side-by-side, so I hop in with you. Brandon, he comes, he rides with Russell.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Brandon, did you hear that?
Yeah. He rides bitch with Russell. I mean, you know, so we make it work. Where the guys that we have coming,
right?
yeah,
you're going to be comfortable and you're going to have, you know, have a place to go.
Well, I think what like Nate was saying. I mean, if you're a single or two guys that want to go, you can jump in a pickup truck and you can walk. I mean, we do this because we like the scenery we get into.
Yeah, you get in a truck, you could put a camper shell in the back, get all your gear in there. You could literally sleep in the bed of your truck if you needed to once you got there.
Yep.
I mean, there is, and you could hunt, you know, backcountry style like our buddy Frank does. Yeah, more, which,
those,
you know,
wilderness areas
we like to do here and there, and we might try it a little more this year. But you could easily just hop in a truck and go.
Sometimes the least amount of gear is probably easier and less of a headache.
We make it a bit of a headache on ourselves because we do take
a lot of stuff.
We got a lot of guys going.
Yep.
We take quads, which you got to add a truck basically on that in that scenario. So we do make it harder than it, I guess, has to be.
Yeah,
but we enjoy doing it that way.
It's all about what you want out of it.
Yeah, right. I mean,
and again, I wouldn't go if I didn't like the people I went with. So
I don't like you.
I mean, like, well, last year,
I'm speechless.
Last year was my first year, and I was going off what you guys took,
right?
And from last year to this year, I was going through kind of what I took last year and what I was planning on taking this year, and I'm like, well, I didn't use that at all last year. There's no reason for that to go with me, and you know, this was there. I used it once. Do I really need it this time? So I've backed down a little bit of what I'm taking.
They didn't tell me about that.
And there's a couple other things I'm like.
So what would you take?
Basically, right now I got two full sets of layers. Like, that way if you get caught in a rainstorm or whatever, I have an extra dry set.
You're talking about like your layer, you're saying like layer. Under layers, like,
no, I like have a full set. System.
A layer system. Okay,
layer
yeah.
system.
Two layer
like
systems.
From under layers to outer layer. I have two different puffy jackets in case I get caught in a rainstorm.
It's 95 degrees there right now.
So are you taking that in your bag?
No. That's just like going to camp with me.
Okay.
My bag, I'll probably have a puffy and my rain gear and then like a long sleeve.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's 95 degrees there.
Right now.
Right
Which
now.
Well, that could change.
But that's also like...
I know. I'm teasing.
It's just one of those things like, okay, it's been 95 degrees in August for the last how many years? And this year it's been there once.
Right.
Yeah.
In Missouri. I mean, so...
He makes a good point. I mean, I've been taking I called you, Russell, about this a couple weeks ago. I've been taking a pair of bibs.
Yeah, why are you taking
bibs? Ever since I've been going. And I called Russ and I'm like, hey... Ever since I started going, I've been taking bibs. They take up a lot of space in my tote. Do I really need these? I'm like, is there a reason I'm taking these that I just can't think of? He's like, I don't even know why you're taking them.
But I can tell you, me and Russell have been out there in like the third week of archery, and you need them. So it changes. It changes so fast.
I mean, I have enough to where if it does get cold, like, well, at least my upper body's not going to freeze. My legs might, but I'll get over that.
Yeah.
And the thing about out there that... What we're doing, we're always moving. We're active.
Right.
You know, you can't wear what we wear here.
Right.
Yeah, you'll toast. I mean, you'll bake.
Yeah, up there.
Well, and
here you would freeze, you know, if it was, you know.
Right. Even if it's like 40 degrees where we're, if 30 degrees while we're hunting, we're constantly moving and taking breaks here and there, sure, and we might have to hunker down for an hour or two. But, yeah, if you're layered up and got a whole – system on up there, at least me, I'm hot natured, I would bake, and by daybreak I'm usually just in my 150 gram base layer and a lightweight shirt, and that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, I prepared for like 30 degrees constant.
Well, I mean, that's what whenever you're riding up the mountain,
right? And so for it to stay that way, I'm prepared for that. Anything colder, like if we were hunting later season where it drops down cold and there's really bad wind, I'd probably be in some trouble.
I just remembered my windshield broke on my floor.
Good thing I'm not riding with you.
Just don't fix it.
It's all right.
You don't have to have a windshield.
The four layers
of Sitka.
It'll be fine.
I know.
I don't have a windshield on my side-by-side.
I'd be all right.
It works out just fine.
Yeah, but those four-wheelers side-by-sides are faster than mine, so the dust factor.
Well, get you one of them face shields, you'll be all right.
All right, all right.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
You
can get one of them Rona face shields, it'll work, right?
Should.
It keeps everything.
Keeps Rona out.
Yeah. Good enough for dust, right?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so, you know, the gear aspect, yeah, and I think that's good about when you do go with people that have been there before. My first year, I pretty much, Russell said, this is what you need to take. And I took it. Pat last year it was the same thing. I think I gave you a list, and everybody basically
followed it to a T.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of things that I personally take that was on that list that you probably don't need, but
right.
Well, this year, I mean, we'll have stuff we don't need because one, we can't have a fire. There's some fires out there right yep. now, and they put a burn ban for the next 30 days, which will include the time frame that we're out there.
Just let it fly. Pop it. There you go. Oh, okay.
Drink break. So we can't have a fire. Normally we have, we'll still take it. I mean, a chopping axe. We have some chainsaws.
Speaking of that, electric chainsaws.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's going out.
The bee's knees.
Cut some wood.
Just electric. Little.
Well, because we had some troubles out there with carburation sometimes on the carburetors of the chainsaws. So we can take a gas one to get everything running. We happen to have Mike that goes with us. He brought a electric chainsaw, or game battery changer. Powered, whatever you want to call it. And that was, absolutely game changer.
Shout out to DeWalt.
Yeah.
Make sure you use bar oil.
Yeah, just make sure you got bar oil on that.
That was important. A great story.
Yeah. That's another little story for you. Yeah. But
we can keep going down these rabbit holes on these different stories. And I mean, it's every day we laugh more than we do anything else.
The money spent, I mean, of course, it can get expensive to do it.
Especially your first year.
Right. But the memories, for me, it's the memories and the experiences. They're literally, I'm not so big, get all savvy, but it's priceless. I mean, this stuff, I wouldn't,
You're going to make me cry.
I take all my money. You can take my monies.
Yeah, I mean, it's expensive, but it's actually really affordable comparatively to other states. You know, number one, compared to other states, Missouri and Colorado are the closest that you're going to get to getting west.
Compared to taking your family to Disneyland, it's
in the park. I was supposed to take mine this year, and that didn't happen, obviously.
Oh, sore subject.
Should have bought a new bow.
I'm going to be doing that soon, but it's not going to be the compound type. So, but, you know, you go out to another state that is over the counter. Colorado is not expensive compared to other states. Yeah, it is somewhere around $700 once you buy your stamps and all that. And that is an expensive tag. Yep, especially when you're used to paying,
$21, I think, for
especially with 17. A 10% success rate. Bow hunting.
Right.
Not cheap. And, you know, it costs money to get out there. Even if you just got in a truck with your buddy and drove, still going to cost money to get out there for fuel, all your food, everything that you got, you know, right. If you got to buy extra gear, it is expensive, sure. But, you know, my pitch to people that are even thinking about going out west is, when else are you going to do it?
It's You're not getting any younger. It's not an old man's game. I mean, my dad goes with us. He's 60. I'm going to get in trouble if I don't get it right. 63 right now, turned 64 this year. He'll tell you, you know, everybody says, well, when I retire, I'm going to, do a trip. It's not an old man's game. If you want to go and do... I mean, it's very much so. You need your legs under you. You need to be in good health. That's something to consider. Do it while you're in good health.
Even from being 19, 20 when I first went to being 25, there's a big difference in that short amount of time that you don't realize.
And life doesn't get slower for people. I mean, you know, you're having a young family. You think, I'll do it when stuff slows down and kids get older. It never slows down. I had a daughter turn 13, and I guarantee you it doesn't slow down.
If anything, it gets more and more busy. Right. I mean, my daughter, she was in kindergarten last year. She's in first grade this year. She's got stuff going on all the time, and, you know, little man, he's getting bigger. You just always have something going on now.
Well, Mike, for instance, is going with us. His middle son, Kellen, my nephew, his senior football night is going to be, if they get to play all the corona and crap.
Right.
Is going to be while we're gone. So I think we'll keep you posted. I think there might be some drastic measures to make sure does not miss senior night there.
Yeah, that's going to be, that's a tough pill to swallow on that one. But what a weird year. You know, their senior night's going to be the second game of the season so that, you know, they can hopefully get it in if stuff changes. And so in that case, it just so happens that I think that's like day two we're there.
The senior night,
yeah. So Mike's gonna have to take some steps to get home to watch his son play senior night and then get back here. But
kudos to him. I mean, you know, you only have one senior night, so you know, kudos for doing that.
But that, you know, I think, I guess the point is, it you can always make excuses not to go out west if you have thought about going, or just, you just go. I mean, there was several years that injuries. There were several years before I actually said I'm going to go that I was like, well, eventually I'll go. And then Russell finally grabbed me by the neck. He's like, why don't you just freaking do it? So I did it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we all have the stuff's going on. I mean, Russell's been dealing with a shoulder problem. I've got some knee issues right now. And I think the other day you and I were talking, Russ, and I just finally said, if I have to drag the damn thing up the mountain I'm going to, you know.
Yeah, I'm going either way.
Got to go, right?
I'll cut it off of you.
I might have to have that.
All right.
It's actually feeling pretty good today, so hopefully it stays that way.
Well, actually, this year was supposed to be my first year. I told my wife the year I turned 30 was going to be the year I went. I went a year earlier, and I'm really glad I did.
Liar.
No shit, 30 minutes.
Oh, man.
It was 3 hours and 30 minutes.
What's cool about that, see, me and Micah had no idea who shot.
Yeah.
All week, because we have walkie-talkies, I guess you'd call them, but where we're hunting, it's so thick and deep, dark timber that you get 100 yards away from each other, and you can no longer communicate with those. And we have good ones.
Well, it cuts in and out, so you're hearing bits and pieces, yeah. And you don't know who shot it, what they shot, or did they shoot themselves? We have no idea.
And just so everybody knows, we just use them just to communicate, just for safety.
We turn them on.
Yeah, we check in
every 2 hours. Yep. We try to check in, make sure if anybody's got anything down, and make sure everybody's healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, which almost never works, but we try.
Yeah, we try.
So,
well, it did work for Pat last year.
Yeah. Now, like for Micah and I,
we could hear
bits and pieces, and so we checked in at like 9 or whatever it was, and we heard Roger say something about an elk down. And I actually thought Roger had shot one.
Right.
And Micah and I were the furthest away from Pat and Roger than any group, I guess you'd call it. We were the furthest east, and they were the furthest west on
But elevation plays a big key there to getting radio signal.
Sure, yeah. So, you know, we didn't, for most of the day, I actually thought Roger had shot his elk. And then come find out, Patrick.
Didn't I tell you to stay put till we figured out what was going on?
Yeah,
I could hear better than you.
We heard you, and then we never heard anything after that. So
We struggled to find Pat and Raj, and I said, "Give me a Ric Flair." Knew right where he was.
Yeah, it's crazy how you can just get separated from each other so easily in that stuff. It's so thick and dark, and
which kind of brings to the next point. It's so thick and dark, easy to get separated. We choose to hunt in pairs with 8 hunters that go. 9 people, 8 hunters. We split up in obviously four groups of 2.
Yep.
One, it helps with calling situations. And also the safety factor. You're out there.
And sound.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
4 people trundle through 8 people trundle through the woods.
Yeah, and then usually throughout the week, there will be a group of 3, like someone
here
want to go. Yeah.
And we're not always.
There was a group of 8 one day.
There was.
Yeah. We called in hunters.
Yeah.
That was the morning I puke, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
Was it not? Where we were.
I don't keep track of your bowel movements.
That wasn't a bowel movement. That was a puking movement.
It just came out the other minute.
But, yeah, we don't always go. The first couple days, all 8 of us might be on the same mountain. But after that, there's a lot of
different drainages,
different moving and trying to find them. You know, the hard part about when we go as early as you can possibly go. So the elk typically aren't real vocal, and it's can be difficult to find them because they're not bugling.
It's warmer.
And last year it was literally the most hunters. Compared to obviously I don't have too much experience, but there was a lot more hunters last year than there was
ever been there in the past 8 years.
Hey, Andy,
I called in the same 2 people.
Yeah.
4 times.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I said that in one of our other. We should feel proud that we
Doug Flutie'd somebody.
Sort of, because it wasn't bugling. It was calling.
It was cow calls. But
same 2 guys, 2 days in a row.
They were locals.
Gonna get some crap about that.
At least they said, they were nice guys the first time we actually talked to them, and then the next time I think we just stayed put and let them move on. But it. Last year for sure there was a lot of hunters, but that's if you just got to remember, it is public ground. Everybody has the same right to be there.
Yep.
And you just roll with the punches.
And, oh, yeah. I mean, and that's what we did. We started out on that mountain that we usually go to. We hunted there a few days, realized this mountain was getting beat up by everybody. So that's when we decided to move around. We found another few good spots that we're going to check out more this year. It's further back in, potentially less people out there, and, you know, we might have a better shot at something.
And they're predicting this year, some of the articles you're reading, people you're talking to, a lot of hunters, because people really aren't able to get out and about and go on, say, family vacations because of Corona, but you're able to do outdoor activities.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And also, a lot of other states are closing down their out-of-state hunters.
Yeah. Idaho, did I see something about Idaho?
I think did.
So, yep. So I don't know which all ones, but I've heard.
So next year, if you want big deer and elk, go to Idaho.
Yeah. What's funny is I personally was thinking the exact opposite. I was thinking, okay, well, COVID has just screwed this country up.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be a lot of people that aren't going to go spend that $700 to go hunt.
That's another angle. I mean,
a lot of people could have been hit harder, laid off.
Yeah. Lost jobs.
Most of us got lucky, you know, throughout this COVID that, you know, I kept my job. All of us did. And it didn't really affect us as far as that goes. A lot of people were not that lucky.
Right.
And I was kind of thinking the exact opposite. Well, why would you go spend, you know, at least $700 right. plus whatever it's going to cost you to get out there?
For hunting purpose, I hope you're right. For general public, I mean, I hope everybody
yeah,
is hopefully. Doing generally well. But hunting purposes, I hope you're correct and we don't have as many hunters.
Yeah, we'll
out
find
there.
Out. I mean,
it is what it is. Public land.
Yeah. You got to roll with the punches, and it didn't make me any less excited, I can tell you that. I mean, this is the time of year that I start getting almost giddy with anticipation. Anybody going to? You know what I'm saying? Like, do not.
For elk season or for deer hunting? Like, what? I mean, what do you mean there?
Like, it's all
yes.
It's all yeah. rolling right now.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, all.
Well, if you think about it, but well, when we get back after that, what is it? I don't know when we plan to get back.
It'd 11th? Be like 4 days. Like
yeah, we got like 4 or 5 three or days. Four and then days. Archery. Then archery for deer.
Basically, by the
up.
Time you're rested up and you're ready to start hunting deer. But
yeah.
And right now, you're right. We're getting trail cam pictures of our deer. We're packing for elk hunting. It is kind of, it, you're right. It's the kickoff to our fun time of year.
Right. Yeah. Like a lot of people are looking forward to football season and all this, which I love football, but this is our yep. our football, it, you know, we, it's like it's finally here, even though it feels like it just happened last time and it's right back, but you know, the summer gets pretty long sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited.
This summer was real long.
It did feel like it was really long. Well, I mean, I think that just has to do with everything that's been going
right,
on. It's
right.
just it's a mess out there. I mean,
yeah.
So
even more reason to go get outdoors, to go
right
go
disappear.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, don't gotta wear a mask out there unless you want to.
If well, there, if there is a the sign on a tree as I'm going up into the dark woods that says mask required, I'm gonna be in trouble.
Yeah.
Although I do have neck gaiters, so I'll be good to go.
I face paint.
That's just what I face painted all black.
I did get refilled my Hardy face paint.
Oh, sorry, you would have been good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Got some more brown.
Thank you, Hardy.
Yeah.
Shout out to Hardy.
Yeah. It's brown as shit.
We should release that video. That was kind of a funny
yeah.
video.
Nah.
Or the one I'm making fun of your sister.
Your sister?
Or my sister about...
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it? Synogens?
Yeah, my wife, she used to... I don't know.
Oh,
sell?
You're talking about that one. Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Not the one I was thinking of.
What kind of a hotel is this?
Yeah, my wife, she used to sell makeup or whatever, and she'd make all these videos and stuff like that, and Nathan took it upon himself to make one about...
Removing face paint.
Removing face paint. And,
it was very informational.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Hey, those makeup wipes work wonders.
Just rub it off. That's what's awesome about Hardy. You just...
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah. Let's talk about a little bit. We kind of touched on it, but strategies. I mean...
Strategery.
So we get... I guess, should we break down our day a little bit to get to that point?
Yeah, yeah. That's
yeah,
a good idea.
That. So, usually starts out 4 o'clock in the morning. We wake up.
Well, you guys do.
Yes, you are literally the last person out of the bed every time.
Day.
Every time. But besides that, we wake up. Albert's already got us a kick-ass meal ready.
Oh, man.
I swear, the dude can cook, and he treats us way too good out there. We always got a really good breakfast. We get our meals usually prepped for the day, because we always take our lunch with us.
Which usually, I mean, most of us are some type of cold meat sandwich, maybe
peanut butter and jelly.
You throw your snacks in there.
Gushers.
Refill your water. Gushers are key.
Gotta have them.
Gushers. I gotta have chocolate out on the mountain. I love that chocolate. But anyways, and then start our ride. What does it take, about an hour or hour and a half?
Yeah, so for everybody listening, we take our quads up to a trailhead, we'll call it, and that's usually about an hour-long ride, depending on where we're going.
And how fast you drive.
Yeah.
How many people are in front of you?
Right?
Don't get in front of us.
Of Russell.
Yeah, of Russell mainly. But, yeah.
It was worth screwing my power steering up and a wheel.
Smoked a tree stump.
But you also killed an elk that day.
Killed a bull that year.
Yep.
Heck yeah.
That's what it took.
First one on the mountain. That's why.
That's right.
And we're usually, when we get to our trailhead, we're usually still dark.
Right.
This is the hope. And we're walking and we get into the dark timber, still in the dark. And then we kind of wait for the sun to.
Because
you can't see anything.
Well, you can't see anything. And also, you don't want to walk up the mountain because in the morning, the thermals are going to be coming down. So you want that wind to be hitting you in the face
right
as you're walking.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want, but you just want to be able to see the elk.
Right? That too.
You don't want to push elk in the dark.
Yeah, you don't want to blow through them and then...
Yeah. Right. So
you want to be working up while you can see.
Right.
Yeah.
So, which typically works. I mean, there's been mornings where we're walking in and it's, hey, that sun is way up there.
Yeah.
Which it'll happen. But yeah, then so you normally walk up until, I don't know, around 10 or so, 10 o'clock, and then you kind of hunker down a little for a while.
Just depends on when that wind shifts.
Yeah, you're kind of waiting for the thermals to change, and you want to hunker down and figure out a plan. And
so I did not bugle until last year. Last year was the first time I thought, which they kind of are pushing season Colorado back a little later.
Which is good.
Last year was the first time I got elk to bugle, and I bugled. I mean, they vocally responded, which was awesome.
And I think we all heard that bugle too.
We all heard bugles.
Well, didn't Russell and Brandon saw them?
Yeah, we called one in to about 40 yards, but he gave us a slip.
Yeah,
but he was screaming, man. Yeah.
So you all heard bugles the first day.
First day.
Roger and I did not hear a bugle first day.
Okay.
We didn't hear one till.
Well, you were further down. Definitely further down than us, so I can see that. Because it would, and when we say we split up, we're probably a few hundred yards away.
At some point,
probably when we start, it starts out a few hundred yards, and then everyone keeps going.
And it keeps kind of getting bigger.
Yeah,
you end up getting, I mean, a mile probably from point to point away from each other,
which is a day's walk. I mean, in dark timber.
Yeah. The downfall out there, which...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Was not ready.
No, but you'll never be ready for that deadfall. That stuff.
Which sometimes I run and jump over.
Yeah. Which is why they're having the fires out there that they're having that's so bad is the beetle kill causes deadfall, and that lays there. I mean, the weather out there helps it preserve, and then it's just like a torch once it lights off.
It just goes and goes. And
right
goes.
Now, that one big fire is 130,000 acres.
Yeah. So one thing, we're talking about strategy, Micah. One thing, and I wish I could give him credit for it. I do not remember who it is, and I wish I could. But some YouTube videos I watched last year, this guy that has some videos out about calling to silent elk. And those are some strategies. We kind of used a little bit, and then the bugle worked. But it's kind of calling to elk that aren't vocal at the moment. And so you try to sound like a herd, or at least some elk that are together. So you might be a couple cows and calves, even a young bull that's with them that, you know, tries to rip something off but doesn't sound very good. And it makes maybe some of those bulls that are in groups curious, and they might come check you out silently, though. And that's what's difficult. So that's one of my strategies, is to try to use more of that calling to silent elk if they are still silent when we're out there. But that could change.
I'm hoping it does. I'm hoping we just hear bugles all the time. But
that'd be cool.
Don't think that's going to happen.
Was that Brian Call?
I do not know.
I can't remember.
I wish I could remember. I tried looking it up on YouTube again today before we did this, and Couldn't find it.
I've listened to a podcast that were talking about the same thing, and I can't remember who it was either.
Well, I
listened to like four.
I wish I could give him credit because it makes 100% sense when I was watching it, and yeah, that makes sense. And I was doing some of those things unknowingly last year where I would call, walk 50 yards, and then I was by myself at that time, and I would just sit and, you know, wait for a while, and then, you know, they might come check you out, but...
Well, I mean, first year I went, and we called in a silent bull.
Screwed it up, too.
And we shut your mouth, Russell.
We did. I mean, we did. I mean, I was obvious. I mean, we were in the...
Screwed nothing up. I screwed,
yes, screwed it up. I'll give you that. I mean, but I was following your lead. But anyways, yeah, we were doing a little cow calling, walking up the mountain, and...
No, we hadn't called at all.
No, we were cow calling.
Were we?
Yes, we were.
When we saw him from like 100 yards away?
We didn't see him.
Just that one movement?
I don't remember that part.
You don't remember that?
I just remember when he was 20 yards,
yeah.
And he really took off running. We'll
let the brother yeah, so you don't remember. Okay, out. So, yeah, you are right. We were doing a little bit of calling and then walking. And then, remember I thought I saw a flash maybe, like 100 yards up the mountain?
Vaguely.
And then we side-hilled and we got set up. And the big thing out there is the freaking squirrels...
They sound like elk.
They throw pine cones at you. I mean,
they're dicks.
Yeah, they really are. They're dicks. And so yeah, we were set up, and we thought we had this beautiful setup.
It was a saddle. We were on one side of the saddle. He was on the other.
And where we were hoping that's where he'd be coming from.
We thought We thought he was an elk, anyways. And then we waited a while, and we're like, okay, nothing's there. Yeah.
I got impatient.
We got impatient, and we literally took 2-3 steps. You were in front of me, and you look, and you're like, stop. And he was right there at 20 yards.
Coming right at us.
He spotted us right away and bolted.
Yeah.
So.
Which sucks. You know, it would have been, a 7-yard shot, probably?
Probably. Where he was coming. It would have been perfect. He would have been coming right behind a tree. I mean, it would have been great.
Did you say 7 or 70?
7.
7.
Oh. I'm just sitting here thinking...
You know them?
The people listening to this. There's people out here. If there's somebody listening to this that actually knows what they're doing elk hunting, like, these guys are idiots.
Probably so. I'm going to tell you this. Anybody that thinks they're a perfect elk hunter or hunter in general and has never screwed up is a freaking liar.
Oh, man.
I mean, every even amazing elk hunter has made mistakes. Just like the one I just talked about, everybody in this room... except for Pat, you freaking jerk, has made a mistake elk hunting.
Right.
I mean, it happens. But what was cool is because of the group of guys we go with, and I'm partial, but I do think we're decent hunters. Russell, not an hour later, killed his bull that day. And so you were by yourself, were you not?
I mean,
yeah, I was by myself, had half of it broke down before you guys showed up.
Yeah, we just happened to stumble upon you, basically. But,
well, we don't, I mean, everybody can do it their own way. We chose not to get a guide. We chose not to do all these things. We chose not to go on public instead of this, but to do it ourselves. As opposed to like paying, pay for a guide. To it. Then that, to me, that's part of the fun is figuring it out. It's right. Just, I realize I could go have more success, get somebody to show me how to do it. I like figuring it out myself.
Sure.
But if you're a guy that wants to shoot one elk, put it on your wall. By all means,
this is not the way to do it.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Don't do it this way because I plan on going on this trip for the foreseeable future every year. If you're a person that wants to make that, you know, hey, I check this off my bucket list. I'm going to do this once and move on to something else. You might want to spend the money, get a guide, somebody knows what they're doing because we don't. anyway, and go out there and do it that way. But
the only thing, I mean, yeah, I love what we do. The only thing I wish. That we could do, it'd be nice to be able to have that money and or have a place that we could go out and actually get like the full experience as far as we'll just call it private land. Not pressured elk and try it that way and see how successful we are.
Not pressured and screaming their heads off.
Right. I mean, because that plays a huge...
Arizona.
cannot wait for the day that I have one just screaming at me from 50 yards away. You know, just having that.
I will probably poop my pants.
It's intense.
Yeah. I say Russell's about the only one that can. I've had last year two of them were screaming, But they're a good ways away. I think Russell's the only one that's had one visibly screaming at him.
Yeah, that's about – well, he finished at 40 yards.
Yeah.
Here's another thing people have to understand. We say we suck, which we might. Who cares? We're hunters. That's what hunting is. It's about experiences. But if we suck so bad, how come every year we see elk multiple days all the time? There are a lot of people that never see an animal when they
go out. Last year is my worst year seeing elk. The year before,
you better take
shit
that back.
Knock on wood.
You are right. You freaking jerk. Because we went out rifle season one time and seen zero elk.
Yeah, zero elk.
We figured, okay, we're seeing these elk far enough away. We'll fix that. We'll go out rifle season. Same spot, same place. No elk.
Yeah. Hell, they move.
Archery hunting and rifle hunting, you got to focus on two different zones.
Yeah.
They're totally different animals.
Yeah. Elevations, yeah.
But I think that's almost a success in itself is when you get to see that animal.
Oh, yeah.
My first... I mean, dude, Pat, awesome. I can't even believe you actually were able to shoot that cow last year because...
Me either.
The first elk I ever saw, I was with Russell my very first year. We got up to a certain spot. Russell sent me a different way, and I was maybe 80 yards away from you or whatever. I went to the bathroom. I found a log, and then I'm on my way back, and I see a bull walking away from me about 60 yards away. And as soon as I saw him, it was like I froze and jaw dropped.
And it's quiet.
Yeah, and I didn't hear a word. And it's just like this ghost. And so I wouldn't have been able to shoot him if I even was 5 yards away because my jaw was on the ground. I don't even know if my bow was in my hand anymore. Did I drop it? You know? So that's... Just seeing them is a win in my book.
My first one, I whiffed.
Hey, at least you shot.
I had a chip shot and blew it.
High in the tree was that arrow?
I think I had to reach up.
It went over the elk and off the side of the mountain, found in a tree later.
Yeah. But that's what's cool about you learn from stuff like that. I mean, I learned from the very first elk I saw, you know, Russ, you learned from trials and tribulations from years past. And then, you know, what, 2 years ago when you killed your bull, it was a different game. I mean, that's
different scenario.
That's hunting.
Each year's different. The elk are in different spots. They're doing different things.
Well, you got to find the sign, hunt the sign. You know, and just fresh signs is a big key.
Pat's pointing to a spot in the map and go, I'll go right there and kill. He's getting cocky is what he's doing right now.
No. We have one. Yeah, I gave him the spot.
You did give me the spot, and it worked. The worst thing is I gave your dad goes, I was like, Roger, we're here. And he goes, yep. Andy sat there last year. I'm going to go sit there. And I said, okay, Roger, where'd you sit last year? And he goes, over there. And I said, I'm going to go sit there then.
The same spot we've had really good luck opening day. It's just a weird, just oddity spot that we stumbled upon 1 year. We had four bulls come through opening day. Could not get a shot at them. They were just so close to us.
I did.
Russell ended up.
Was that same year?
It was. Yes.
It was the same group before.
Same group. Yep. Russell ended up getting shot a few days later. But the next year, we had two cows opening day, same spot. So the third year, Pat goes opening day, same spot. And it's in between the hours of 9 and 10 o'clock.
It was about 9.
Same spot.
Yeah.
And they come out of this drainage and feed up the hill. Well, Pat came from the opposite way.
Above us.
Every other one has come the opposite direction. But same spot, same time frame. If you're sitting there, it's worked 3 years in a row. So I think I'm going to foot race somebody to that spot this year.
And you are 6'6", so you will probably beat whoever. But I think that... That's what you learn from those, those mistakes. And yeah. Everybody's behind everybody.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't go out there to be selfish.
No.
You know what I'm saying? It's how many years ago when we all went up the mountain that last day, every single one of us, to search for that bull that Russell had shot the day before, and... Unfortunately, as soon as Russell shot it, it started pouring rain, and he couldn't find the arrow. So the next day, six of us, how many of us?
I think it was
five of us.
Five.
All go up this horrible, you know, side of a mountain to get and basically grid search the entire face of a mountain to try to find this animal for for us, and it was because any one of us would do that for anybody else.
Right.
And that's what's I like about it is I know that if something happens this year and I shoot one and I need help, if I can get a hold of people, they're going to be there to help me.
Yeah, I probably will, yeah.
I really hope you help me track some blood this year. I'll be honest with you. It'll be awesome.
I'm not worried about the track job. I'm just worried about getting them off the mountain.
hey, that'd be even better.
That's rough.
It is.
Pack them out. If you're not ready for it, it's going to kick you.
I mean, yeah. It's doable, but it's the worst fun you'll ever have in your life. That's for sure.
Yep.
So
that's where it pays to be a little shorter. Get that low center of gravity.
Yeah, but you also got to jump over 4 foot logs that are laying on the ground.
I just kind of like roll over them.
Or he just goes under them.
That's where a good pack, though, makes a huge difference. You guys, besides everyone else besides me and Micah, run an Exo pack. We run this Alps.
Shout out to Alps.
Yeah, Alps. I love Alps. I mean, my Alps is, yeah.
Oh, they're solid packs, too.
But the ability to haul meat and to have things set properly on your body, you know, carry the weight right. If you get an elk in there, you're talking, what, 70, 80 pounds maybe?
On your back.
Honestly, you're talking however much you can stand.
I mean, a regular-sized bull, I guarantee you one boned-in quarter is all of 90 pounds.
It's literally however much you can stand to carry down that mountain. I mean, that you're going to make multiple trips, or you're going to have multiple people.
Yeah.
I mean, we got lucky. I mean, no offense. I mean, everybody would have shot it, but Russell's bull, it was a smaller bull. I mean, we were able to get all of it on three of our packs, and I mean, it was terrible. I mean, it really was, but we got it done.
But it still took three of us.
Yeah, it took three of us with heavy packs.
Yeah.
And then with you, how many people do you have?
Four.
And it was you shot a cow, and what were you thinking? Was that was it a big cow? It wasn't.
It wasn't a big cow.
Okay, something wasn't huge.
We ran into issues is insufficient packs.
Yeah.
So I was running a Tenzing 4000 or whatever it was, and it had a meat compartment. Well, I couldn't fit a rear quarter in it.
Right. It'd been great for a white-tailed deer.
Right. It just physically would not fit a rear quarter. Mm-hmm. A front quarter fit perfectly fine, but that was it.
Yeah.
So Andy was able to carry a rear and a front.
Shout out to Alps.
That's right. Right. On my Alps pack.
And
thank you.
Mike had another Tenzing, but there was no meat compartment. Mm-hmm. So we...
Which we thought there was.
We thought there was. So we used mule tape and a trash bag and tied this rear quarter to his pack. And it did not work at all.
Yeah.
And Roger was
unbalanced.
Right. And Roger was running a
backpack.
Walmart deer hunting backpack. And had probably an 80-pound like burger meat, neck meat.
It was all the neck meat.
Pack, bag, strapped. Like we just kind of.
Loins. Neck meat and loins.
Strapped it to it. And it was awkward. Like I was walking behind Roger doing this. We kind of. Just kind of holding, just trying to keep it centered.
Hey, Pat. It's a podcast. They can't see your hands.
Whatever. You all can see.
What a rookie.
But I was just trying to balance it because I could see it shifting.
Well, that's
so I'd push it back the other way.
I got to say, probably the number one thing when it comes to packing meat, you don't want that stuff shifting.
No.
So
no side to side.
You do not want to go side to side. So whatever you do, get something that's got some good straps so you can tighten it down.
I was comfortable, but I was only carrying a front quarter.
Right.
Right.
And it wasn't moving.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
and I kind of felt bad for everybody else.
A pack's important,
but
you have the lighter pack.
Can you,
everybody?
I'm pretty sure.
The guy who killed the elk had the lightest pack.
Freaking! You get by? Like, can you get in your truck and jump in and go and make it happen with just a backpack?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
You can make it happen. I mean,
gonna suck for 4 days.
Yeah, and you might be making multiple trips up the mountain, but you can make it happen.
Right.
Yes, it's easier to go spend the money on a good meat packing pack. And there's all kinds of, I mean, yeah, I like my Exo. Exos are a little more pricey. Alps there's all kinds of different
price points
and different sizes. I mean, there's Kefar, there's all kinds of Mystery Ranch. I mean, you can find them. Yeah, they can cost.
You can probably get into one for $200.
Most likely. I mean,
I think the Alps is $230 that I have, $230.
Yeah. I bought mine actually I bought mine. A guy won it at some deal or whatever, and he already had a pack. So I think I found it on Craigslist or something like that.
Yeah,
I
you did.
It was like $160 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you can find deals out there too.
What's your time worth?
Yeah, exactly.
And your knees pain. And your back and your yeah. I can promise you this: once we got Russell's bull down off that mountain, there's no way in hell I was going right back up.
Nope.
That moment, you know. So we got that entire elk off the mountain in one trip because we had the ability to do it.
Yeah.
Or you have multiple guys that. You know, but if it's just you and a bud and you're both running around with Walmart packs, no problem with that.
You
but
can do it.
That might be the first biggest thing I'd recommend is good boots. The second biggest is a good pack.
Mm-hmm. Third, trekking poles.
For packing
for,
out.
If you're packing out, yes. Having trekking poles.
For just going.
Yeah. If you have them, do not leave them at camp.
I have not purchased trekking poles yet.
Yeah, I still haven't messed with it.
Yeah.
I figured if it's that bad, I'll grab a stick and let's whittle something up real quick if I have to. But you know.
Whittle. Did you say whittle something?
Yeah. I wish I had whittle and wood.
Didn't me give you my trekking poles?
Yeah. I used one and Roger used the other.
Yeah. I mean, that,
if I didn't have I'd have felt because the weight was pushing me down. That we're walking down the mountain, and the weight was pushing me.
High center of gravity. See what I mean?
Something to stabilize if you're going over a log with all that weight. Just one stick to get you stable.
Well, like if I'd have had my set, I bet it would have helped Andy a little better, and it would have helped Mike as well. I would have been okay because I had the lightest pack, but that's just because
shoots a cow. 30 minutes into his first year, and then
it was 3.5
gets
hours.
Other people to carry most of it down. We didn't have had you do it, man.
Sounds like a win-win.
I think we forgot to charge him our guide fee.
I know, gosh. But I think the point we're trying to get crossed in this episode is
have good friends.
Yeah, have fun times. Like,
right,
yeah. We wanted to do this show about elk hunting, and we know we've done, gosh, like multiple shows already about elk hunting in the state of Missouri.
Right.
Sorry about that. Is crazy. But number one, it's what we love. And
I mean, it's a huge part.
It's a huge part of what who we are. We wanted to do this show because, I mean, we are excited as hell about 10 days from today. What is it? Yeah. We leave in 10 days.
Well, the group of people that started this podcast are the group of people that go elk hunting, or a group of people hunt deer together. We share our hunting stories together, and this is a major part of it for us. And hopefully you guys can get the same experiences in whatever type of hunting you guys do, whether it's deer camp, turkey camp.
Fishing
camp. You can do
fishing
that.
Camp. Yeah, whatever. I mean, I don't know if it's called that.
Fishing trips. Sorry. Yeah. Fishing trips.
Yeah. But Jesus. And whatever it is.
He's a good man.
Whatever it is that you do, find the people that you enjoy doing that with. And experiences like, you know, elk hunting for us. Elk hunting for us has turned deer hunting and other, you know, our coyote stuff we do and all the different stuff we do together that much more fun.
Yeah.
You know, because
it just builds off each
other. That camaraderie you keep talking about, Micah, you know, it built that camaraderie. So that's why we do. I mean, that's why we started this freaking podcast because it's.
We wanted to talk about hunting.
We talk about this shit all the time anyway.
Yeah.
So might as well record it.
And hopefully somebody maybe learns something or at least has a little bit of enjoyment out of it. So, I doubt they're going to learn anything.
Might. Probably not.
Wait till deer season. Then they're going to learn.
You're going to learn today.
You're going to learn today.
So, Colorado has the bear tag, the add-on bear tag for $100. Well, I've done that. I did that last year. Anybody else going to do that this year?
I don't think I'm going to do it this year. If I kill something, can you go back and buy it?
No,
I think you got to buy it before.
Well, you can't. You have to go to the Department of Conservation's office after season has started and buy it. You can buy it before season at whatever, you know, your Walmart or your co-ops or whatever.
Right,
and it's a limit per unit. Like it's once they meet that quota, it's done.
I don't think I'm gonna buy one this year. To be honest with you,
yeah.
I think I'm gonna if I kill something, I'm gonna tag along with somebody else afterwards and film it or whatever. Yeah. But.
Which Russell's taking a camera. I'm taking a camera.
Yeah, Russell bought a camera.
So, I don't know. My thing is I'm going to hunt first, film second. So
yeah. Yeah. My camera will consist of my cell phone if it comes to that. Cause
yeah, that's probably
that's all I've got.
Taking the Tacticam.
Mine's my stabilizer.
So yeah.
I just gave you a stabilizer yesterday.
I don't know if I'm going to use it yet.
It's lucky.
It's a lucky stabilizer?
Yeah, it killed an oak last year.
My God. You are insufferable, sir. God.
But I've been through two bows since then, so.
I was there when you threw your other bow.
Which one?
Me, you, and Micah, did you throw multiple bows?
Are you a child?
No shit, dude. Me and Micah and Pat are at a 3D shoot together, and I don't know. We were close to the end.
Stone bear, the Kuma that I had?
Yeah. And you had a bad shot, and you literally just launched it. Said, right. I'm done. Like, well, I guess he's getting a new bow. Yeah.
That, me and that thing were having problems.
You never got along with it. That's the same bow that you... when we got back home last year, you were walking to your tree stand and you caught the string on something and cut it.
No.
That's a different bow.
The bow that I had in Colorado last year.
Y'all go through bows quick more than I've ever
go through underwear. The bow I had in Colorado last year, I cut the string the last day we were out there.
Oh, okay.
And then I gave that to my father-in-law and said, go restring it. And he never has. I kind of want it back.
Be a good backup.
Yeah, I kind of want it back. That was a good one for what? $400. That was a good bow.
Yeah, no. But, well, anybody got anything else? I mean, we could do this all night.
I said, we can keep going down rabbit hole after rabbit hole.
I mean, this whole freaking show is a rabbit hole.
It is. That's a rabbit hole. Maybe that's the title of it.
Rabbit Hole
Woods and Water. Better idea.
I was going to say, okay, whatever. We can discuss this off air.
But yeah, I mean, long story short, we were basically trying to get across that we're excited. We wanted to bring that excitement to you guys. That's the reason we started this podcast, is because we love doing this stuff together, and we want to bring it to people. So,
and we hope that people, they find a group of guys or just one other good buddy, it don't matter, and
Go do something.
Go do something different. I mean, you don't have to stay in the state. I've been looking at maybe going to Nebraska one year and going hunting, you know, the sand hills or something like that. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So to put a bow on this,
yeah,
what we're hoping is that we're probably going to have one more elk episode that'll kind of recap everything, unless it was just so bad I don't even want to talk about it. But,
Which is possible.
And there's a chance that if we might record some stuff around, well, we don't have a campfire this year, but sitting around, you know, one evening, we might do some recording. We hope to have some Tales of the Chase episodes, talking to somebody after their kill about the story. So it could be more than just, and it might be a mini series. I have no idea. We'll have to play that by ear and see what happens. But when everybody's hearing this, we will be in the middle of our elk hunt with no service for 2 weeks, and we're excited about that. We will be having our normal episodes come out
every Tuesday. On time.
Every Tuesday we'll have them ready to go before we leave. So keep listening to, we got another cool Tales of the Chase episode coming out.
Yep.
And we've got another cool trout fishing episode that'll happen while we're gone. So we really appreciate everybody listening. We're having fun. We have fun with buddies now. I mean, I know it's me, myself, Micah, and Andy, but Russell, this is your second show on. Pat, this is your debut. Your first one.
First
your
and
debut,
last.
Baby.
Oh, sorry. No, you're welcome back. You're welcome back anytime.
He's welcome back. And that's what it is. This is a group of friends that are going to be on here every once in a while. So, Pat, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
For your first one.
It's a good time.
And
Would you say this episode was elk exhilarating?
There it is. Can't get through one, can I? Gosh, I was ready to say goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, I was just curious. I'm pretty excited.
Say that again. It was what?
Elk exuberating.
I think elk
exuberating. Changed it.
You changed it.
Exhilarating.
Hey, listeners,
that works too. Elk exhilarating. Exuberant. I don't care.
Reply to the episode releases and tell us how much you hate or love Andy's dad jokes.
All three people are going to just love them. So
yeah.
I tell you what, if that episode don't get you ready to go home and get everything packed up and ready to go, I don't know what does.
I'm ready. I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. Let's do it.
Yep. That's going to take a lot of Mountain Dew in that drive out there.
Mountain Ops.
Yeah, Mountain Ops. Yeah, Mountain Ops. That definitely does the trick.
That stuff works.
Yeah.
Saved them for you.
You can let me steal some this year, too?
I saved a couple for you.
All right.
So hopefully you guys got something out of that. It may not be informational, but
there's a little bit of information. Not much.
No.
There's a little. It's definitely more of a fun podcast than anything. But hey,
I think we kind of touched on it at the end of the actual podcast. But just get out there and do it. Do it with people you like, friends, make memories. But
thanks, Pat. Thanks, Russell.
Thanks for joining us today, guys.
Just remember, it works 60% of the time. Every time.
That's right.
Yep.
That's what we got you here for, the math.
The math.
I thought to myself, what is the one thing this podcast is missing? And it was math.
Bad math. Oh, no, it's not math.
And I knew Pat could do that for us. So,
my wife's
you came
a math
through.
Teacher.
You
so
came through,
good.
Dude. That, well, then we need Alexa on the show.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Yep. Have a great day.